In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. Today is the Sunday of All Saints, always the Sunday after Pentecost. And the readings, therefore, are about saints, about what it takes to be a saint. You should learn to read the scriptures critically and to know the services critically. I don't mean to criticize them. I mean to understand them with discernment. And so these readings must have something to do with saints, since it's Sunday of All Saints. And if you look at them closely, you'll see that they are about the things that are necessary to be a saint. Now, saint just means holy one. We are all called to be saints. Let's not excuse ourselves saying that we're not like St. Basil or St. Vladimir or St. John Chrysostom or St. Seraphim, and therefore we're excused from living the Christian life radically. No, we're called to live the Christian life as they were. I want to just show a few things that the scriptures tell us about being a saint today, and then concentrate on the last two. Now, the gospel is the famous one where the Lord talks about, if you don't confess me before men, I won't confess you. If you deny me, I'll deny you. So the first principle that the scripture presents today, that is that we must confess the Lord before men. You must not be afraid to show your faith before men. The other one is that we must love God above all. He says that by saying, if you love father or daughter or mother more than me, you're not worthy of me. We must love God above all things. We must take up the cross. We must, in another context, he speaks about the cross. It's not said here directly, but because of taking up the cross, you must deny yourself, deny your passions, and follow the Lord. And within this whole reading of the gospel is an expectation. Because in the end, we will be rewarded, and the Lord promises this. So there should be expectation of reward, which is hope and faith. Now, the second reading, or actually the first reading, the reading of the epistle, read first, talks about faith and patience. And I want to talk about those things. There are two very interesting phrases, not well understood, unfortunately, but they are the key to living a triumphant, holy Christian life. In the very beginning, Paul, introducing all of these righteous ones, said, who through faith. He says, through faith. Then he describes remarkable things that they did and that were done to them. In the end of the reading, after describing all of these remarkable things, he says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So we have these phrases, through faith and with patience. Do you understand what they mean? There's only one way you can know. Not by looking them up in a book. Not by reading about them in a text. Not by having them preached to you. The only way you know what through faith means is to live by faith. Then you'll know that phrase. You'll know what it means. That everything you do is because of God. Or you make an effort to have everything you do be because of God. That you see God in all things. That you see God's plan in all things. That you trust in Him in all things. And that even if you're silly human personality and sins gets in the way of you, you always have a yearning to follow God with all of your heart. That's living with faith. Faith is certainty of God. And faith is to understand what is dead and what is alive, and to seek after that which is alive, and to get rid of the dead stuff. That's living through faith. Now, it's not necessarily that a person who lives through faith is going to be an incredibly righteous appearing person. You might still have your sins, your weaknesses, but a person who lives through faith submits everything to God, and eventually they will be triumphant because God will not allow them to be lost if they live through faith. Now, the other phrase, with patience, is to me a much more interesting one because there are two kinds of patience. There is natural patience, and there is supernatural or spiritual patience. We all know people who are naturally patient. They don't get upset when there's a lot of traffic. They don't get upset when there's some problem, when they're late. They just are patient. And some of us would even envy such people, think, I wish I could be that patient. But that's natural patience. Some people are just naturally patient. Atheists can be naturally patient. Sinners can be naturally patient and not be upset about small things or even large things in life. But supernatural patience is a whole different thing. Only those with faith can have this patience. Now, supernatural patience can affect regular patience, just regular human patience, the emotion or the character trait of patience. It can make it better, but not always. Sometimes we just have our podvig. Perhaps we're just not patient people, and we just have trouble struggling against patience, to be patient. If that's the case, then we have to struggle. If we are naturally patient, then we're fortunate ones indeed. I would say in our fast world, where we go so fast and travel such a small distance for all the speed that we travel, I think impatience is a serious problem. But very few people have spiritual patience. Now, this spiritual patience is that you know God will help you in all things. It's very much related to faith. And you know God is in all things. And so you won't give up, no matter what. I would like to give you some examples of spiritual patience. This is how we run the race with patience. Let us say that you have a loved one who's not doing so well, has left the church, or is an alcoholic, or is in some illicit relationship, and you worry about them, you fret about them, you're very sad about their situation, but if you have patience, you pray for them every day, and you pray for them a lot, not just, oh Lord, have mercy on George once in a while, but you pray for them with blood. It's what the prayer rope is so good for, by the way. You pray with blood. Blood is life. You put your blood into the prayer. Now, if you've done this, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you haven't done it, then these words don't mean a lot to you yet. But if you believe anything from me, believe that if you pray with effort, with patience, with sincerity, with longevity, you'll understand what it means to pray with blood. You'll understand what it means to pray with your heart. And that's what you must learn to do. So you pray for your loved one, even though they're not getting any better. Maybe things get worse. Maybe for years. Maybe for decades. But you continue to pray. One of the great examples of this would be Saint Monica, who prayed for Blessed Augustine for many years. He was very bad for many years, and then he found his way because of the prayers of his mother. So that's one way to run the race with patience, is to pray. Now, that's a hard thing to do. Many of you have not experienced this level of patient prayer because you pray for a while and then you give up because it didn't work out. Perhaps you don't actually say, I'm going to stop praying because God hasn't answered my prayers. But you find yourself not praying so much anymore. You find yourself forgetting to pray. That's not running the race with patience. You run the race with patience, you keep on running. And so you keep on praying. So that's an example. Another example would be if you are beset by a particular sin and you pray to the Lord and the sin remains. What do you do? Well, if you pray, continue to pray, then you're running the race with patience. Perhaps there's something you must do. You must change because your lifestyle is in some way affecting this sin, increasing this sin. So if you run the race with patience, you don't just pray, but you find other ways, and the Lord will enlighten you, either through your confessor, or through reading, or through just the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart. The reason you have trouble with this sin is because of this other sin, or because of this aspect of your life. A simple example would be if you have trouble with unclean thoughts and actions. Well, maybe it's because you watch unclean things, you talk about unclean things, you curse. Then you must make changes in your life so that you can be free of unclean thoughts and actions. There are many, many other examples you must that show that you're running the race with patience. Now, you might not be a patient person by nature. That doesn't matter. It might not be so great for the people that are around you, but it's not really significant for your salvation. What's significant is, do you live with faith, and are you continuing to run with patience? There has to be desire that is continually rekindled to run the race with patience. I'll give you some helps that help us to run this race with patience. Let's take the words of Paul and the order in which he said them, which shows one of the big things that helps us. He says, after describing amazing things that people did because of faith, through faith, wherefore, seeing that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. So the lives of the saints, if we know them, if we hold them dear, both the ones that are chronicled in the scriptures and in the various metalogia that are available so easily, so freely nowadays, those things are the cloud of witnesses that should make you think, I can do this too. There's not a sin that you've committed that you can't find a saint that has overcome that sin. So this great cloud of witnesses should inspire you. I recently had that experience when I went to the monastery. I'm not trying to say that all of the fathers there are angels. I think some are. I think the ones that are most angelic probably I wouldn't even be able to point out because it's a hidden virtue. But I had this distinct experience every day in the monastery of getting up early or trying to stay up late, falling asleep when my prayer rope would hit the ground, and then going to bed and then getting up very early for the midnight office. That there were fathers in the monastery right then that were praying, and I didn't have the strength to pray. Somebody was staying up all night praying. That was the cloud of witnesses. It inspired me. And inspired me to try harder to pray. Now, there's one technical difficulty with that, and that is exhaustion. I'm trying to work through that. So sometimes I get up early, and then I go to sleep a little bit later than that. And then I get up again, go to sleep. So I'm working through the technical difficulties of trying to pray more early in the morning or late at night. But I was inspired by the life of the monastery, which is centered around prayer. I can't get it out of my head. I think about it every day, dozens of times a day. That's what we're born for, is to pray, to have communication with God, to be in God's presence. So that choir of witnesses should help you to run the race with patience. You must read. If you don't read, what are you doing? What's so important that you can't read the scriptures and can't read the lives of the saints? If I talk about St. Anthony the Great, you should know his life. St. Seraphim Sarov. If I talk about Moses or Abraham, you should know their life. Not all the details, not all the scripture references, but it should have an impact on you. Let's just take one example, since I just said if you read the scriptures, you should know their lives. What can we learn about patience from Moses? Moses was raised in Pharaoh's house by Pharaoh's daughter. He was a man of privilege, but he also loved his people. And when he showed his love for his people, he got booted out of Egypt. He had to leave Egypt or he'd be dead. And he spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness being a shepherd. But he never gave up believing in God. 40 years of exile. Could you do it? He was exiled for doing a good thing, for protecting his people. And at the end of those 40 years, of course, came his calling. And he led his people out of Egypt through the wilderness to the promised land. That should impress you. That should touch you in some way. It should be there in your heart. There's another thing that will teach you patience, and that is your inner experiences. We're all terrible sinners. That's a given. But even being terrible sinners, we should experience the mercy of God in our life. And if you experience these things, God touching you in various ways, then this will increase your faith. Now, if you just rattle off your prayers occasionally, or say Our Father maybe every other day, or just pray before meals, if you never read the scriptures, if you just rush through your day, if you know more about, let's pick something really stupid, the Kardashians, than you know about the faith, then you're not going to have these inner experiences. But you must have these inner experiences. You were born for this. You were born for God to be in your heart and to be light in your heart, and warmth in your heart. You should feel it. You should feel God moving in your life. If you're not feeling God, then work at feeling God. This is where some patience comes in. But this patience will be rewarded. You're probably not praying enough. You're probably not fasting very well. You're probably not going to church very much. Or perhaps when you go to church, you're zoning out and you're not listening. You're not praying. When you are open to God telling you things, then, and you obey Him, then you start to have an inner experience of God in your heart. And that is more proof than anything else in the world. The inner experience of God proves God is who He is. Really, nothing else does. People would like to say God is proven by nature and other such things. Well, there's people who love nature but don't believe in God. Certainly, God is evident in nature. For those with faith, He's evident in nature. For those without faith, He thinks He's not evident in nature. You must continually try to be experiencing God. That's the whole point. It's not just to say certain prayers and go to the services certain times. It's to have God living within you. And if you do, then it's you're sure of things. And that will help you to become more patient. Maybe not the patience that other people see, but the spiritual patience that I'm speaking of that is so critically important to your life, to eternal life. I just told you a bunch of things that are necessary to be a saint. But the last two, I think, are the most critical. Because if you have faith, you're not going to deny the Lord. The Lord will be inside you. It's like denying yourself. It's like denying that you have an arm. Denying your own name. It's not possible to deny the Lord if you have faith. It's not possible to refuse your cross if you have faith. And if you have faith, you will have patience. And if you have patience, your faith will be increased. The two virtues increase one another continually. So, brothers and sisters, look inside your life. How patient are you? Now, don't go ask your friend or your spouse how patient you are. That's not the patience that I'm talking about. How much are you struggling to live a Christian life, even when it's hard? How much are you praying? How much of a priority are you putting on praying? How much are you reading? How much are you fasting, even though you don't seem to get any better when you fast? How much are you working? If you're not working very hard, then you're not running the race with patience. And there are great rewards to running the race with patience. When God makes himself manifest in your heart, there's nothing else that matters in life. That's the most important thing. Nothing else matters. Everything else is dead. If God is in your heart, everything else is dead to you. That's the way the saints were, the really great saints. And to some extent, that's the way we should be too. May God grant it. May God grant that you have faith and that you run the race with patience. God bless you.